Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up tonight to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Most of you know that this past Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, there was a few of us men that went to a Southwide Baptist Fellowship, and they looked at Hebrews chapter 10, probably of the 12 messages, probably 7 or 8 times. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart. Even the first time they went over to things, I was reading, God, I've been working on this thought or this passage of Scripture for a little while, and God just confirmed some things in my heart and some things I'd like to share with you tonight. Title of tonight's message is Considering One Another. Considering One Another. I know a number of months ago we went through that One Another series, and I was sure that there was a Considering One Another theme that was in there. I went through that and looked at that, and there was not a Considering One Another, because I was going to use it as a resource. And I look at this passage of Scripture, there's a famous verse in there that all pastors like to use and kind of beat people over the head with. When verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And they use that as a verse to say, hey, you should be at church. You should be here. And I know what might go through some of your minds is, Pastor, it's Sunday night and we're here. So I don't know if we need to hear this message. You do. It's good. And I think it's going to be important. You know, the church is filled with people who are super faithful, and I'm thankful with that. And I'm thankful for the dependability of the people. And I think as I look across the room, though, there's people missing. And I'm not trying to pick on any specific individual, talking about the church in general, but specifically our local called-out body of believers, and they gather together. And I know some because of sickness and some because of health concerns, people are staying home, and I understand that. I pray that they have godly wisdom and they make decisions for themselves. And as they make those decisions, it's something that is hopefully they're seeking the Lord, just as you're seeking the Lord for your step-by-step days. But if you would have told some people 5 years ago that certain individuals were not going to be in church, they said, no, I'm never going to stop going to church. And then if you had told other people, certain individuals are not telling people about Jesus Christ, you said, oh, no, I'm always going to keep on telling people about Jesus Christ. And you would think that there was something that happened in this world that would get some people who haven't missed church in years upon years, never stop coming to church, or people who have always given out the gospel and have been free to give out the gospel, and something caused them to stop. And it happened, you know, 18 months ago or 20 months ago with all the things that happened with COVID. Praise the Lord for those that we were able to live stream. We were able to do things live stream for a very short period of time. We stopped having services because they told us, just give us a few weeks to fix things, you know, to slow down the trend. And we tried that for a little while. And for a little bit of time, we didn't have public services, and we did everything live stream. That's for a short period of time. And it was a discouraging time, because we believe God can work and God can move and faithful and all those things. But there are certain things, like me, I've been going to church all my life, 9 months before I was born. And I don't know if there would be a time that I can say that I stopped going to church ever in my life. There was some times when I waned a little bit on Sunday nights, and I'm sorrowful for that. I wish I never had done that. But at the same time, for the most part, and I can say that during those weeks of the COVID, I still came to church. You guys didn't come, but I came because we didn't. I know it's because I did a live stream. So that's the only reason why I was here. But at the same time, could you imagine 5 years ago or 10 years ago, somebody saying, there's going to be something that happens that causes people who have never stopped being at church their entire life, or since they've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and they're not coming anymore. Or the same thing, because of COVID, many people stopped feeling comfortable talking to one another because of the fact that they were worried about, you know, germs and this or that, and they stopped sharing the gospel. Been doing it for years. They've been coming to church for years, and they stopped those things. And it happened. So as I mentioned this morning, with something God's been working on my heart for the last week or two, is about trying to find the heart for God and what God thinks about things. Human reasoning does not work, even because it is many times it's not fair or it's not true because we let our backgrounds or circumstances, how we were brought up, what we've learned from others, what we've seen from others, we let all those things make us form our opinions. But in all reality, the thing that needs to form our opinion or the person that needs to form our opinion is God. We don't need to be surrendered to something. We need to be surrendered to someone. And many times we're surrendered to something. And it's important to understand as we get to this that when we consider one another, there are some important things that I think this will be encouragement and help to you, whether you're here physically or on the camera watching. Let's jump in here. We're going to read verses 19 through 25 because that's what they did at the place every single night. But we're going to focus on verses on 24 and 25. But they kind of work together. It says, verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which ye have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. So because of those things, there is three different lettuce. There's the lettuce in verse 22, a lettuce in verse 23, and also a lettuce in verse 24. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So the first important thing is, and we're going to look at this a little bit tonight, let us draw near. Second thing it says, not only let us draw near, second thing is let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. So there's some things that we should hold on to, we should hold fast to. And then the third thing is, after we have drawn near and after we've learned to be established and hold fast to our faith, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's ask the Lord's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight as we look at this passage of Scripture. Give clarity of thought and mind, Lord. I'm looking for that, Lord, and how to present and the words. We're asking that you give them to us. But also that people, when they take it and they hear, they will clearly think and they say, what is God's will concerning this? Understanding the will of God when it comes to so many areas of our life is so important. We're not looking to understand the will of a preacher. We're not looking to understand the will of my friend. I'm not looking to understand the will of anyone else, but Lord, I want to hear from you. And Lord, you have something to say about it in your word. Help us to be faithful, help us to be true, and help us to be clear. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray you encourage us during these times and these days that seem like they're overwhelming. But Lord, as Mr. Bateman was praying about in your book, it talks about a lot of these things. We see that your day is approaching. Lord, help us to see that and live a life according to that way. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at verses 24 and verse 25. But when we look at those verses, we're going to start, instead of the beginning, we're going to start backwards. When I look at those last phrases found in verse number 25, it says, but exhorting one another. And then this next phrase, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe this is referring to the day of Christ. Some people believe that it's talking about when Jerusalem was going to be destroyed and that that day was approaching because of the prophecy that happened. I think it's talking about the day of Jesus Christ and so much the more. So if we believe and we live in exciting times, he said, exciting. Well, usually people take exciting, they talk about things that bring them joy. But exciting also can mean eagerness. So as you're there and you're excited and you're excited, and people are excited because they don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? The Bible believers know what's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to come back someday. And you say, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now or 100 years from now, it's still closer than what it was before. And this passage of Scripture teaches us something that's really important, that there is something that we need to do, something that we should be doing, and not just doing a little bit. It says so much the more. There is something we should be faithful with and something we should be doing, and we should not get sidetracked, but instead increase it and increase it and increase it. And we're going to look at those things. One of those things is about being faithful to church. Another thing is considering one another. Another thing is provoking one another. So what it's saying is that church is essential. Church is important. And church is something that not only should we not kind of pull back, we should have more often. I know sometimes some church services are going down to having church one morning and that's all they do. Or they don't have church on Sunday night. They've canceled Sunday night church. I'm talking about even before COVID. And it wasn't convenient for people. They start having small Bible studies and small groups. And I think small groups are great, but I don't think they should replace church and church services. And lots of times, like I said, there's churches that are huge there in an area, a lot bigger than ours. They have service. Yeah, they have services a few times on Sunday morning, but it's the same service. And what are they doing? They're not doing this so much the more. The reason why we have church and the reason why we continue to have church for Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and have special meetings and have other things that will encourage and provoke and do those things we're going to talk about is because we know Christ's day is coming. So if you believe Jesus is coming now sooner than you think it's going to happen sometime soon because of the signs of the time and because of the things that are happening, how do you think we should live? What are the things that you think we should be given a priority? If you really truly believe these are the last days, and I hear lots of people talking like that, we do know that it is closer than it was yesterday, and we definitely know it was closer than it was 2,000 years ago when this book was written, or this chapter was written, approximately probably 1,900 and some years ago when this was written. But what do you think we should do? If we really truly think Jesus is coming back, what is it in our life that we should give priority to? God has an answer for that. God says we should put church as a priority. Now, not only church, but think about some other things. If Jesus is coming back, and we know that if a person has heard the gospel and their fate is sealed, if he returns and he calls his church home, what else should be a priority? Telling people about Jesus Christ. And if church and telling people about Jesus Christ is something that has been put on hold because of the fact that there is a COVID virus that's out there, and the devil's really good at what he does. I can almost promise you there's people I know, not only here that's part of our church, but also throughout the whole country that has slowed down serving God because of COVID. They've gotten used to not coming to church. They've gotten used to doing other things. And you know what? It's the devil's good at what he does. You're saying, Pastor, is the devil the one that brought the virus on? I'm not saying that per se, but I am saying that I know that it has hurt the church because instead of the so much the more, it becomes, I'm not sure if I'm going to. And I know some people watch things online, but I know from people from our church, but also people from other churches in our area, people I talk to and I try to encourage, they're not always watching it live. They're watching it when it's convenient for them. They're not just staying home because of the fact that, hey, I'm a little concerned here. They're choosing to do other things during the time that the service is going on, and then they're just catching up later. That's not church. Church is a priority. You should be here, should be a part of the service. Are you going to watch it online, be singing as it comes along? This idea of having virtual church is such a blessing for those that cannot get out, and it's such a blessing for those that have been sick, and such a blessing for those that want to be careful, and we praise the Lord for all those things. It needs to be a priority in our lives. Not because it's what the pastor's heart is about it. You read this passage of scripture and he says, look, draw nigh, hold fast, now consider one another. And what it's saying in the scriptures is so much the more. Why would you say that? Because times are going to get hard. Times are going to get tough. Things are going to be dangerous in this world, and things for believers and Christians are going to be overwhelming. And there's days of uncertainty, and prophecy seems to be being fulfilled. And people think, well, I go to church and I need church. It's not just that you need church. The church needs you. That the scripture's saying here that you consider one another, there's something you do at church. And does God need us to do anything? No, but he chooses to use us. If he's God, could he be the one and bring an angel down and preach the gospel? He could, but he doesn't. He chooses to use us. So I want to encourage you today. I want you, the first point is consider the approaching day. And it says here at the end, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I think most Bible believers would say, we see that day approaching. We see it happening soon. So why are we pulling back instead of pushing forward? And once again, I know you have to be reasonable with people as they're concerned about things such as COVID or concerned about other things. But that's not the reason why we don't tell people about Jesus. If we weren't really a witness 2 years ago, we can use that as an excuse today, but that's not truth. The truth is that we see him coming and we talk about, hey, the days are happening, the things are happening, the things are being unfolded. You see the prophecies happening. We see that, yes, he could come at any moment, any time. So how should we respond to that? Should we just sit back and just watch? He tells us to go out. And here he gives us a priority when it comes to being a faithful to church. Second thing I want you to think about for a moment is not only consider the approaching day, but consider your relationship with God. Verse 24 said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. There is something we're going to look at here in a second that we're supposed to consider one another, but I truly, honestly believe we need to learn to consider our relationship with God before we begin considering others. And you say, why is that? It's because you cannot truly consider someone else in the right way without considering your relationship with God first. Once again, what is God's heart for this? When he says consider one another, when he says provoking one another, when he talks about provoking towards good works and provoking, as it says in the scripture there, unto love and to good works, what is God desiring? Because so often we show up at church and we think, well, this is what they should be doing. And because this is what they should be doing, then I'm going to provoke them to do it this way. You don't even know what you need for yourself if you're not being close to the Lord. If you're not reading your Bible and praying and seeking God's face and asking God to speak to your heart to give you something so you can give it to somebody else, you're never going to know how to consider somebody else right. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be harsh, but if you can't take care of yourself, how can you be provoking somebody else to do good works, and how can you be provoking somebody else to love when you don't have the relationship with God like you should? I know there's a relationship there with Father and Son. That's not going to end. A child of God and our Father which art in heaven, I understand that, but if we're close to him, I mean, if we're not reading our Bible and we're not praying and we're not seeking from God and we're not hearing from God and we're not even being faithful to church, all those other things, how in the world can I be someone who can provoke somebody else to do something that's right? Instead of being our identity, instead of being what we think someone else needs to be, what we think someone else needs to look like, what we think someone else should act like, we need to get a hold of God and let God get a hold of us and tell us, this is what my desire is for you. And God, give us things so that way we can give it to others. Remember, not being surrendered to some type of identity, being surrendered to someone. And that's God. So often we get surrendered to certain things that mean so much to us. And in our own earthly wisdom, we're not seeking heavenly wisdom. In our own earthly wisdom, we try to say, this is what this person needs. This is what I'm going to give to them. This is something. And we don't even understand our own need because we're not worshiping him. We're not seeking him. We're not saying, God, please speak to my heart. God. So when we go here, if you go to verse number 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. We need to learn to draw nigh unto God first. And I'm saying, hey, don't come to church if you haven't prayed. Obviously, you come to church so you get motivated to pray. You come to church to learn about God. But there are so many people that are missing what it means to consider one another because of the fact that they have not considered their own relationship with God. They have not made that a priority. They have not truly sought revival. They have not been in his presence. They have not had the touch of God in their life. They haven't heard from him in such a long time. They just keep on going through motions and motions and motions. But if we will learn to draw nigh unto him, we draw nigh unto him, he draws nigh unto us, and we learn to hold fast that profession of faith, we have something then to give somebody else. But so often, we skip the draw nigh, and we hold fast to our own convictions, and then we try to provoke others. Based off of earthly wisdom, based off of how we think things should look and do, we try to put this mold into it and say, this is what I think you should do. And that's, if we don't consider our own relationship with God, it's going to be hard, if not impossible, to know what someone else knows what to do. If we cannot value our relationship with him, and how we need to seek him and search him and ask him to speak to us, to get in the presence of God, to allow God to do a work in your heart. You can't leave the presence of God and not be changed, is what one of the speakers said this past week, and I thought that was good. If you truly get in the presence of God, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be a difference made in your life. The third thing I want you to think about, and this is where I will spend the most time, is consider what we provoke others to do. Consider what we provoke others to do. Yesterday, I went to watch a little bit of the volleyball game, and you know what they were doing? They were cheering. It was really loud, even a little bit obnoxious sometimes, but it was okay. They were excited, and people were chanting, people were banging their seats, and people were holding up signs. It was nice to see them excited and being a part of that. And what they were doing is they were trying to spur on their team. And that's the idea of what provoking is speaking about here, is means to spur on somebody. There's an exhortation that's given here that they're supposed to spur. They were trying to encourage them. They were trying to motivate them. And that's what it's saying here in the scriptures. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." So what it's saying, the word consider here, it gives the idea that we give our mind to it. Consider means to give attention to fix our attention on, to give continuous care to watch over. And as we are doing this and we're considering someone else, and I think about individuals as they come to church in this type of setting, let us consider as we're thinking about somebody else, they're talking about the spiritual needs. If you're going to develop a culture that where others will consider and care for one another's spiritual needs, and if they're going to provoke others to good works, we need to first consider our own relationship with God and then seek God on how we are supposed to consider others and what they need, provoking one another to love and good works. It means that he wants people to take deliberate steps to cause another person to love and do good works. It's saying specifically, what can I do and what step can I do that's going to help somebody else want to do good works? Think about it practically. What is it that spurs us on? What is it that motivates us? How are the things, when we think about it practically in our life, is how do I practically provoke another person to love and to good deeds? What would be the opposite of that procedure? What is it that is not going to provoke me to love? What is it that's not going to provoke me to good works? When we see somebody with a bad attitude, that does not spur me on to do what's right. You know what that spurs me on to do? Many times it spurs me on to do the I'm not provoking them love. It provokes wrath. It provokes anger. It provokes sarcasm. And so the question and the thought here, the third point is, consider what we provoke others to do. What are we provoking others to do? Now, if you're going to speak the truth and someone doesn't like the truth, that's okay, that's fine. Jesus did that. And there's people who walked away from him when in truth. In John chapter 6, there was multitudes that left him. And there was people who turned their backs on him. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about with our actions inside of our church family, how we're supposed to consider each other and how we're supposed to spur each other on to do what is right. I tell you, you being here tonight is a way to provoke the preacher to preach. It's you show up, you're here at church. That's a good thing. You're here. Though when we see people watching online and people making comments, we know people that's a way to provoke somebody to a good work. What do you mean? I'm saying that it's your faithfulness. I remember Mr. Armstrong, and there's a church member that tells the story. As he got older, he couldn't see very well. He couldn't hear anything. And thankfully, we have these hearing things now. Who knows? It might have helped him. And they asked him, he says, at 98 or 99 years old, why do you still come to church? He says, you say you can't hear anything, can't see anything. He said, number one, it's because I want everybody to know whose side I'm on. That's talking about God's side. But also, it's a way that it can provoke and say, if you know what, if that guy who's in pain, who can't see, can't hear, can get up and come to church and stay awake in church and can do all those things, what excuse did I have? It's a provoking. You being here tonight is somebody that provokes somebody to good works. But what are the other things that we provoke people to do? When I hear some people sing out there, and they sing loud, and once again, I know there can be obnoxiousness. I've heard people on purpose try to do things to sound ugly, and that's not. But if they're praising the Lord and they're singing the Lord, you know what that does? That provokes me to want to sing more. That provokes me to want to not out-sing them, but hey, there's somebody there singing and praising the Lord, then that's what I want to be. When people are here and they're telling people about Jesus Christ and passing out tracts, that is something that provokes me and that spurs me to want to be able to serve. But when I see flesh and when I see attitudes and when I see people gossiping and when I hear different trivial things that are just using excuses, those aren't things that spur me on. You know what that does? That's a person that probably hasn't spent a lot of time with God, that hasn't sought from God and heard from God, what they feel like, what they consider one another. So when you're considering one another, think about this. We learned this morning about how God loved everyone. He's a friend like no other. He's a friend to everyone. Everyone needs him. He loves everyone. And you know, we looked at those things. If you're considering one another in the church house, and I know people have closer friends than others. There's people who I know a little bit better than others because I spend a little bit more time with them. But are you really considering everyone? Is there certain people that you really do not like and that you despise or that you don't want to have anything to do with? Do you pray for them? You go down a prayer list. Is there certain people that you, is that really what God's heart is when he says this? I'm going to pray for my few and no more. I'm going to pray for those that, now when he's saying consider one another, he's saying, I want you to draw near to me. I want you to make this commitment that I'm going to hold fast to the profession of faith. Now I'm going to consider one another. I'm going to consider the other believers. I am going to think about them and I am going to see what I can do. It means to give attention to. I'm going to fix my attention and I'm supposed to care for that person. I'm not going to neglect this biblical mandate of assembling together because I'm supposed to consider those that are here. And how can you consider someone that's here if you're not here? Now, I know what some people are going to say. Preacher, I text, and preacher, I send emails, and I get a lot of wonderful, encouraging texts. This morning, I got a text from an older couple talking about the message and something that was said in it. That helps spurs it on. And there are people that are there. It is not the same thing, though, when you know people are not faithfully being a part of the services and watching and not caring. And I want you to understand, how are you provoking people to do? There are certain people that are encouragers. When it says here, exhorting one another, in verse number 25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a manner of some is, referring that there are some that have forsaken, there are some that had stopped coming, some that were not part anymore. But exhorting one another. What does that mean? That means encouraging one another. There are certain people that are encouragement. There are certain people that kind of cheer you along. There are certain people that are fellow helpers of truth. And you know what? And then there's others who just take the whole wind out of the sails. Others who that aren't an encouragement, that are discouraging. And we got to get to a spot where we are spending time and drawing near to him and saying, God, what is it I need to do? The day is approaching. You're coming back. God, I probably should have been doing this all along. But even now, so much the more, I need to increase the things I'm doing. I need to increase my outreach. I need to increase the way I consider one another. I need to increase the idea of provoking one another to love and provoking one another to good works. I need to do all those different things. God, what is it? And as you draw near to him, he's going to give you those answers. He's going to rebuke you on some things. He's going to encourage you on some things. But it's when you're in the presence of God, you can see and hear. And when God gives you something, then you can encourage somebody else. So we are to consider the family of one another. We're supposed to care for one another. And it's not like it's something new. If you go back and you think about things in the Bible, we're known for being his disciples. When are we known that? When we show love for one another. This is not something that's unusual and say, hey, pastor, this is just the passages of scripture that you want everybody to show up at church. No, we're known for his disciples, not because of how we dress, not because of what we don't do or what we do. We're known by loving one another, and sometimes that's a challenge. We are supposed to consider one another, and we're supposed to challenge our church family. What does that mean, challenge? It means we're supposed to conduct our lives the way we conduct our lives should be a living challenge to those that are around us. We should provoke others who are to a deeper service and a deeper love for God by the way that we live, by being faithful, by living as a light. It's not always telling everybody what to do. It's not always saying, here's what I think you should do. Instead, as you see someone treating another person with kindness, and how much that's an encouragement. You watch somebody go up there and you see somebody that's struggling to get out and they grab the door and somebody else grabs the door. You see somebody pick up a piece of trash, you know what that does? That helps me to say, hey, is there something I should be doing? You see somebody go up and greet a visitor and be there. That's provoking someone to do what they need to do. It's an encouragement when I see people out and they're being a witness and they pass out a track. I praise the Lord for that, because that's what it provokes. But what do we provoke each other to do? I've seen in church houses, people are not provoking each other to love. They're not provoking each other to good works. They're provoking each other to wrath and anger. They're saying and doing things on purpose that they know is going to hurt somebody. They're ignoring certain people just because it's someone they don't like, or it's not what the scriptures are saying here. I want to encourage you tonight, consider one another. And as you do this, it's talking about considering your church family. But when it says here, provoke into love and to good works, it's challenging them. A deeper love. Love is infectious. The more we love, the more others around us are challenged to love. The more that we show kindness and love, more people are going to have that heart. Love should be the trademark of a relationship of one with another. Not just any love, a godly, Christ-centered love that manifests itself in holiness and genuine godliness. Not just to those that we like and that's part of our group, but to the entire church. There should not be people that we leave behind just because they don't look like us or act like us sometimes or do things the exact same way. We should be motivated to love one another with a deeper love, the type of love that only God can give us. Well, how can I get that? Is that time with God? It's understanding the will of the Lord. That verse is getting ready to get into the marriage chapter and that marriage chapter in Ephesians chapter 5 we've been spending a lot of time in the couples class. And it's before that ever starts, it talks about not being drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. It's a deeper love. It's a dedicated labor. Now, there are people in the church that we would say never gives up, never stops being faithful, never would ever miss a church service, as long as they lived. And then they had the challenge of COVID, and they're struggling with, should I be in church or not? They have told people about Jesus Christ their entire life. Now they're wondering, should I tell people? Because they might not want it. The challenge that's found here is, when we have a sincere desire to be a blessing to the church, and we see others work, we're challenged to do more for God. And I truly believe just as love is infectious, so is also work. When we're busy serving the Lord, we're encouraged to see others work and do other things. And may I remind you that God didn't save us to just sit back and do nothing. God saved us to do something. And as being a part of it, we have such a kind church family and a loving church family. Let's provoke one another not to care so much about this thing. And that, like, once again, I think politics are important and you can learn, but it's not as important as the church. I think sports are nice and they're important, especially to those that are part of it, but it's not to the church. The church is more important. I think your family time is important, and your family has that relationship that goes, and it's even that priority. You have your relationship with God, and you have your relationship with your husband or wife and your family, but your relationship with your family should be a part of church. It should be able to work together. They shouldn't work against each other. And there's things that we have as priorities, and they cannot be as high of a priority. What God says, the day's coming, as you see that day approaching, so much the more, be in church. But not only be in church, learn that while you're here at church, you're not supposed to take in, but you're supposed to give out. You're supposed to be, this is not just about me and what I can give for my kids or what activities I can have or the social group that I can have around. That's not what church is there for. The church is there for fellowship. Yes, it's there for believers. It is there to encourage. And some of the closest friends I have, it comes from my relationships at church. You're the people I spend time with. You're my church family. Obviously, I have a physical family that lives in Maryland, but I only see them a little bit of the time. And I love them dearly, but you're the people I spend the time with. And it's my responsibility to try to help consider you, but not only just consider you, but to provoke, to spur on love and good works. But I don't always see it in church. I don't see the exhorting. I don't see the encouraging. I don't see the one another being there for each other. And I see it in some people's lives. I've seen it work before. I use the example of Kids Crusade all the time, because sometimes, especially in the past, We've seen Kids Crusade have tons of workers. We have 70 or 80 or 90 kids some years, 40 workers. You know what that is? That is the spurring on. Hey, look, people want to do things and they encourage one another and things are getting done, things are getting accomplished, people are working together, and it's a good week. The kids stuff is kind of crazy. It's one of my favorite weeks, not because we get to be a little silly and have a good time and get to see the time of the kids, but to see people working together, and that's an encouragement. But when people can't even communicate and talk with one another, how can we do this? This is his desire. This is what he wants for church. Now, I know some are younger Christians. Some are not going to be able to provoke as much to the good works, and they're going to need some other people to help lift them up and work with them. I understand all that. But at the same time, we can encourage somebody else. We can provoke. Us that have been saved for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, there is no reason why we should be provoking somebody to anger. There is no reason why we should treat somebody bad. There's no reason why, even when there's a problem, even when there's a hard time, even when you're going through a difficult circumstance, there's no reason to be rude. There's no reason to be inconsiderate. There's no reason to be ugly. That is not provoking someone to love. That is not provoking someone to good works. Is when they see our love, is when they see we react at the right time and the right attitude. And sometimes I see it get trickled down to the kids. Sometimes parents don't like somebody else, and it turns around that the kids don't like each other. And then it talks about the grandkids don't get along. That is not the provoking that God's talking about here. It's provoking to encourage one another. We don't come to church to stir up things and the idea of stirring up problems and stirring up trouble. We come to stir up the Holy Spirit of God and have God work in our hearts and God work in our life. And we provoke one another to good works. We provoke one another to love each other. That's the characteristic that is seen. That's the characteristic that Jesus showed. And we should provoke for a deeper service and a deeper devotion for God. This wasn't a lot of things that they had talked about at our meeting on that, but it's something that God laid upon my heart. What are you provoking people to do? Are people seeing the love of Christ in your life and the way you act? You might think, hey, it's the way I'm portraying. This is what they need. Just make sure that you're dealing with yourself first. Draw near first. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Then it says, let us consider. Should we be doing those things? We should, but it's not our way. We're not committed to some type of thing or some type of the identity that we think people should be. We should be surrendered to him, and as he speaks to us, we work together to provoke each other to love and to good works. But so many times there's a challenge. We're not provoking those. We're not provoking all. Instead, sometimes we're provoking those, and sometimes we provoke the wrong way. And I want to encourage you, when you see somebody doing something good and something right, encourage them. You know, when you see somebody singing and you enjoyed it, encourage them. I know that the choir's a little smaller right now, and praying that God brings back some of our choir members. You know, how many of us want to hear Jesse sing again? I know I want to hear Jesse sing again, but God's going to have to do that. And, you know, that we see that in this morning. I saw a lot of these songs are songs they've sung before, but a lot of them have new parts because some of the people aren't here. Some have moved away. Some don't feel comfortable coming back and things like that yet. And I enjoyed hearing I think it was a trio of people singing the song this morning, right? I think it was We Preach Christ, and I think it was a new trio of it. And I thought, wow, they did a good job. And obviously, they want to sound good and they want to do what's right. But when they're up there doing the best they can, you know what they're doing? They're provoking us to say, you know what? I can serve. I can do something. If they can get up there, and when they're missing the people and we're not just going to stop the choir and that we're going to keep on doing and keep on working forward, you know what? I can do that too. And when I see people throughout the week faithfully cleaning bathrooms, faithfully cleaning floors and chairs and doing other types of things, and it's such an encouragement. And when I see people with smiling faces around, it's provoking to good works. But then when I see others, they're not provoking to good works. They're provoking more to frustrating. They're provoking to causing heartache. And I want to encourage you tonight, get God's heart when it comes to this passage of Scripture. Go home and think about the things that were said and look at what that idea of consider. Do I consider one another? Well, how do I consider them? And when my consideration comes, this is what God has laid upon my heart. And through my life, I provoke somebody else to go to love and the good works, because first of all, they love me. They demonstrate their good works by the things they've seen. And there are so many people that do things here. I'm thankful for that. But when I see people serving and when people love on me, it's so much easier to love them. And you say, well, Pastor, aren't you supposed to love them? It's when I love on them, it's so much easier for them to love me. And I tell you, there's people in our church that love me, and I'm thankful for that. And sometimes I hear stories, hey, Pastor, do you remember doing this? And because of that, I have a friend forever. And I heard a story the one time, a lady said, when you were an assistant pastor, you came and sat with me for 3 hours before my surgery. Do you remember that? And I says, I kind of remember that. And you know, she says, I never forgot that. That's always meant so much to me. And it wasn't something that, you know, I did on purpose just to win that person or to have that friendship. And I love the person that does that said that. It's the idea that as you provoke, as you do things that are kind and you consider one another and you're there for them, the response is going to come back. So tonight, consider one another. It's all under the context, and many times preachers stick at 25. You got to be here. You're forsaking. You're a wicked sinner, this and that. But it's the purpose that you're here for, is to consider one another. It's to provoke one another to love and good works. It is to exhort one another. There is plenty of people that I've been in churches. I've seen people cause issues and problems. They go around and they talk about this thing and talk about that. They get their own little group and they get their own little group. And I saw it happen when our church split back in Elkton. And I'm thankful that heart isn't here. I really am, at least not in that type of size or that type of way. Man, I love it when somebody provokes people to good works. I love it when people are serving the Lord and God's on them and they encourage others and God's on. But when I see flesh come up and when people act fleshly, boy, they're missing the whole purpose why they're at church. It's sort of like, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. When that slogan went around, when it comes to church, we come to learn. Yes, we get benefits from fellowship. We get benefits from learning by the teaching and the praying, and there's things. But that's just part of it. When we come to church, how can I serve? How can I provoke? What can I do to encourage somebody else in their walk with God? And I see it happen many times. But I also see it the other way. I know how to push somebody's buttons. If I say this, they're going to go off. And they do it just to watch them. And I've seen it. Nobody is here tonight. I've had people just try to bait me with certain questions. They could care less about the question, but no matter what I said, they were not going to be happy. Sort of like the Pharisees when they were watching Jesus. They asked, Jesus looked at them and says, is it lawful to heal, do good on the Sabbath? If they said, no, you can't do on the Sabbath, they're going to say, well, you don't really care about them. And if you heal them, then they're going to say, you worked on the Sabbath. There are some people you just cannot please, and they do not come to church for the right reasons. They're not looking to provoke. They're not looking. They're not sitting there with a critical eye saying, well, you should do this and you should do that. Instead, they consider one another and they pray for one another and they're compassionate to them. And through our love and through our message and through our testimony, we encourage others because we're like Christ, because we spent time drawing near. Don't try to be provoking somebody and say, I know what that person needs, when you don't even know what you need if you're not spending time with him. That might sound harsh, that might sound ugly, but at the same time, the only way you're ever going to truly know what that other person needs is when you get it from God. Because who knows what that person needs? God does. There are people who enable others and enable people in their sins by going over there and comforting them when they're doing something wrong and saying, what you did was right. Get alone with God, spend time with God, and then allow God to be the one to show you and direct you how you should consider and how you should provoke. But spend the time drawing near. Be faithful to church. To our friends that are watching, not just our friends, our church family that's watching online, be faithful. If that's the way you think it's got to be for a little while, be faithful. Still, don't give up. We need you here. We want you to be provoking. We want you to be praying. We want you to be inviting. We want you to be a part of it. And the same thing with here. Do what you know you're supposed to do. And it says, so the much more. There are people who said, I would never miss 6 weeks of church or a month of church or a week of church unless they were out of town. I'm going to be faithful somewhere. Pandemic comes. Everything changes. There's challenges that are there. We even shut our doors for a little while to try to soften the curve or whatever they used to say. And now some people think church is optional. And never thought it before. Never thought it was optional before talking to somebody about Jesus. But now it's happened. Let me encourage you tonight. Don't forsake the assembly. He says, God's heart about it is, when you see inside this world and people are trying to push homosexuality and push gender neutrality, whatever they call the sin, or like our lieutenant governor called it, the filth that's out there, we need to be here so we can encourage and so we can provoke one another, so we can be a part. And if you show up, don't come with your own agenda. Don't come with your mess that you're going to try to not, you're going to provoke somebody else and push somebody else to act sinfully or wickedly. Don't do that. Show up ready to provoke someone to love and to good works. Well, how do you do that? Because you tell them what they need to do? No, it's more showing them how you love. I've seen so many different relationships, and so many times I've seen a husband and wife love each other so much, it provokes me to want to love my wife that way because I see that and demonstrate that. I see how many times young people behave and how they do things. That's supposed to provoke others to good works and encourage other ones to do what's right. And I see people that serve and they have a heart and a love. And I see, like I said, there's a provoking that happens. Let me encourage you. Provoke someone to the good side. Stop provoking others to just feed your fleshly desires. What are you provoking people to? We should be, by our faithfulness and being here, but our encouraging words and our service, they should spur others to want to serve God too. Let's pray.